Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hit it, Hal!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
Here. Ooh. Apparently I have a drinking problem. This is Wretched Radio. I just opened up a can of I don't know what this is, and it went flying. Who's been shaking the cans in the fridge? It makes me look like I've got a drinking problem because my desk is sopping now. Jimmy, do you know where Hit It Hell comes from? I'll bet you don't.
I do not.
It comes from the Fig Newton commercial. Have you ever seen the Fig Newton commercial?
There's been a lot of them in my lifetime.
No, the old one.
No, obviously not.
Hit it, Hal. Chewy, gooey, rich and chewy inside. Tender, flaky, golden, cakey outside. Wrap the inside in the outside. Is a good darn tootin'. It's a big Fig Newton. One more time. It's a big Fig Newton. That was the big finale. And it was a Fig Newton guy dancing around.
The things you remember.
We got that one nailed, don't I? Right. Go ahead. Ask me what my sermon text is for Sunday. Let's see. I know it's in the Bible someplace. Would you please send stuff, whatever it is that you deem wretched, to idea@wretched.org. If you would like to complain, we can handle that. Critique, that's fine too. Send whatever wretched thought you have. That didn't sound right. Send whatever wretched thought you have. Via text to 877-282-2337.
All right, we'll start with a text from Anonymous. Todd, in the wake of Charlie Kirk's death, I have been overwhelmed with grief for a person I really didn't know.
Yeah.
As the week has passed, I have heard many people echo the same thing. I would love to hear your thoughts on why this has been so different and so impactful. This hurts so much more than I ever experienced for a public figure, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been asking that question a lot, and I've been asking that question of a lot of people. Why is this hitting so hard? I'm pretty certain we talked about that earlier this week. I think I had a list of 11 things that are like, whew, about it. Now, there's a couple more that weren't on that list, not the least of which is witnessing an execution. Not the least of which is witnessing an execution in America. On a university campus, on a sunny day, in front of a man's children? Come on. That's like, whoa. So it is just, I would say that was a genuinely traumatic event. Now, I know the word has been so abused, you know, and like, okay, I open up my can. What is this anyway? Sweetened cherry limeade. Okay. Made by Clear American? What is that? What am I drinking? I'm going to get a tumor. I just know it. I'm going to get a tumor from this. All right. I open up this can and it goes all over the place right before the program starts. That was traumatic. No, no, it wasn't. But witnessing a man getting murdered, that's traumatic. I know it was only video. That's traumatic. And isn't it interesting how that punched you in the guts? Even though most of us have seen a million murders on movie screens, TV shows, if you're a video gamer, you're shooting people all the time. And this, by the way, might actually be yet another argument to put the kibosh on violent video games. It trivializes shooting somebody. Most of those games, that's what it's about. You know, shoot, bang, bang, catch them, kill them. It's like, wait a second. I think the Charlie Kirk thing illuminated, whoa, that is serious. What are we doing? That's a wicked event. Why would we want to turn that into a game? And then somehow justify by saying, well, they're just pixels, but they represent life. So one more. perhaps reason to find better things to do than play violent video games. So for all of those reasons, I think the Charlie Kirk thing, it was indeed traumatic. And I do believe that the issue, I think we are going to, yeah, that should be today. We talked about this yesterday, about the what's happening, the fallout in churches. I got to tell you something. It aches my heart. That's right. I'm Billy Ray Cyrus. It aches my heart because I know that there are some wimpy pastors. I get that. I do know that. And I think that there are some pastors, sure, they maybe made a bad decision with bad motives to not address it with their flock. I understand that. But mostly, I think the good, I'm not talking about heretics. I'm not talking about guys that are not trying and their sermons are awful. Not talking about those guys. I'm talking about guys who are weighing the issues, trying to sort it. And then you've got people on the internet saying, if your pastor doesn't talk about it, dedicate a service to it, hold a prayer vigil for it, start a parade for it, then they should be disqualified from being a pastor and they should quit or you should leave the church. Oh, no. No, no, no. We got to deal with this in the church and we got to deal with it together. Because last time I checked, when we share the essentials, we're on the same team, right? Jimmy, you got any other reasons besides the ones we shared this week and
well,
that it was awful to watch?
I've been putting a lot of thought into it, and I can't remember if this was on your list or not, but the thing that I keep coming back to is I think it feels like a strategic loss.
Oh, yeah, there's that too.
You know, he
was... This kid was impactful.
He was such a countercultural voice.
Yes.
And, I mean, he spoke about things that we're all thinking all the time, but he had a voice that he was saying it.
Yep.
And so we lost a brother in arms.
I look, he was one who was willing to speak it without apologizing. Mm. And I... Look, I've never watched everything that Charlie does. I would never say, I affirm everything everybody has ever said. That's just impossible to make that sort of statement. But he would talk about the issues that we're told, zip it, submit, and worship. And he just didn't accept it. And so I agree with you. We lost a powerful voice for speaking clarity. And my understanding is increasingly over the last 2 or 3 years, he was becoming more vocal about his faith and being evangelistic and sharing the gospel. I think people got saved because of Charlie's work. And it's grievous. Look, it's just grievous. Here maybe is an interesting thought experiment. And I hesitate a little bit because you don't want anybody to think these thoughts, but let's, as a thought experiment, and don't think about anybody in particular. What if this had happened to a progressive liberal, 31 years old? They're really good at touting their progressive political views. How would we feel about that? Now, I recognize it's going to be different to a degree, but when you see the murder of any human being, it should grieve us, any of them, including somebody that I don't agree with at all politically. So knowing him, knowing his values were probably in alignment with mine as a rule. Yeah, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
It might be the event that perhaps personifies, I'm going through my Rolodex here, personifies, encapsulates the zeitgeist. It's like, there it is. There's the divide. This is what this country is now. And it's not the same. I think that's a big part of it. It's like, yikes, this is not the way it used to be. This is not the way that it should be. So I think it was a big deal. And my hope is this, that this, in whatever way the Lord chooses to use it, will sweep across the university campuses. And kids, I think it's already happening. They're asked, it's like, okay, what's the deal? What's the deal? And I've heard Charlie speak about this subject. And he's talked about it. I think I need to explore it. I think they're open to it. I think this is another one of those jarring events that is causing university campus college kids to say, what's going on? This is so busted. The dude got mowed down. What is happening? I'm pleased to announce we will be at Kennesaw State University and University of North Georgia next week. Greg Giffords flying into town. I think he's teaching a class on Monday. He'll be here for Tuesday. And then he and I are going to the campus of... No, I just didn't sustain a head injury. Here it is right here. I got it right here. We're going to North Georgia first. All righty. Hey, there's a good restaurant in downtown Dahlonega. That's going to be Tuesday, September the 23rd. 6:30, the Hoag, H-O-A-G, Auditorium.
He's really excited, too.
Greg is?
Greg is. I talked to him yesterday. He's very excited.
I'm just curious. Why were you talking to Greg? We have podcast stuff?
No, he biblical counsels me over the phone. He has podcast stuff.
I wouldn't have doubted the other.
Yeah, it's so true.
Because how many hours free time does that man have? Because... He's going to need them. It's at the Hoag Auditorium, University of North Georgia. Then we're going to be at Kennesaw State, 6:30 again, September 24th at the Carmichael Student Center. If you can join us, we'd love to see you. This is Wretched Radio.
Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1793. William Carey sails as a missionary to India. In the next 40 years, he would oversee more Bible translations
than had previously been produced in all of Christian history. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wish somebody told me this. This is Wretched Radio. I'm looking at this little thing here. I guess it's called a piece of paper. The five steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Where was this when I got saved? Adam Tyson, one of our Fortis fellows. It is a brand new resource. It is at Fortis Plus. It is free. Five lessons. No, is it five? Yeah, I think it's five lessons. And they're 20 minutes long. And I believe we have a study guide to go with it. What defines true strength? How to be a man of integrity, purity, and discipline. It is super helpful. So please avail yourself of a brand new resource titled Five Steps to Becoming a Man After God's Own Heart. You will find it at fortisplus.org. Then, while you got that bad boy fired up, send us stuff. Would you be so kind? Wretched things should be delivered to idea@wretched.org, and you can feel free to text if you want to use your thumbs, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, I've heard some comments that lead me to believe Fortis is not a fan of C.S. Lewis.
Hmm.
What gives?
What gives? Okay, I would say this. Whenever I read C.S. Lewis, I profit from it in some way. I can't think of a time when I haven't. But does that make me a fan? Is he a go-to guy for me? No, he's not. And that's just a preference issue. So would I say I'm a fan? No. Would I say I'm an antagonist to C.S. Lewis? I would say that he has some theology that you got to watch out for. You just have to. So I would say this, if you're not very advanced yet in theology and your understanding of the essentials and the implications of being off on things, maybe go shore that up before you start consuming CS. Then I think that you can eat the meat, spit out the bones when you find one, and profit from him. His stuff on Shadowlands is glorious. And I wish I'd have to memorize it word for word to even come close to paraphrasing it as beautifully as he wrote it. That this life, it reality, if you will, like what all of this stuff points to, it's just over the hill. It's a song. It's beautiful, but you only hear it in the distance. Indicating we're not meant for this planet the way that it is. Oh, come on. That's good stuff. So I'm not a fan. I'm not an anti-fan. I'm just aware that he's got some theology that is indeed, I'm about to go as far as to say troublesome. I think this is one of those guys, depending on your level of theological knowledge, you can eat the meat, spit out the bones. Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean,
is everybody going to be mad at me for that?
I don't think so. I mean, from my perspective, I mean, I just recently quoted him in a sermon. I'm not anti C.S. Lewis.
Did you do the caveat?
No, I didn't.
What?
I didn't. No, I'm like I said, I'm not anti C.S. Lewis, but I'm also cautious, I guess.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
You do. That's fine. And look, I know people have. Some people have some strong opinions about C.S. Lewis. Mm. I'm just interested in profiting from what I read from the guy when I choose to read the guy or run into a quote from the guy. So I'm not looking to hack or to extol. But I've seen some people who are like, you can't quote C.S. Lewis because that's an endorsement of his bad theology. I would say that I think there's room for differences of opinion on that.
Yeah.
Where we can maybe not think that the other person is a heretic just because they quoted C.S. Lewis in the sermon. You didn't do it with the Presbyterians, did you?
No, I did not. I did not.
Where'd that come from? Up at church?
When I went back to Tennessee to preach a couple of months ago.
Oh, the other time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And Blake didn't tag you on it, huh?
He did not. Huh. He did not. Maybe he was slipping. Thinking it. He might have been thinking it. I don't know, but he didn't say anything.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Peter. Todd, question about deacons. Does the Bible forbid a man from becoming a deacon if he is unmarried or if he does not have children?
I think I know the reason for this question, because in the qualification for deacons that we see, 1 Timothy 3, it talks about being a one-woman man. It talks about not having unruly children, but that doesn't mean that that is, you have to have them. If you have them, this is the dynamic. This is what it needs to look like. But that is not a, the qualification is, if you're a man with a wife and children, this is what it looks like. That's that, not having children, not being married, that's not the qualification. It's how you are leading them. I don't think I'm missing anything from that, Jim. I suspect that's what's motivating that. Yeah, yeah, you can be a single man and you can be a deacon. I think you can be a single man and you can be an elder, because the qualifications aren't having a spouse and having kids. It's your leadership skills. I'm going to share a little inside. Well, I guess you could probably just call it gossip. But it's good gossip, because it's extolling somebody. We just had our Fortis Fellows meeting where all the guys and Libby were on a big Zoom thing. And we spent time talking about the issue of how we can have disagreements with others while maintaining biblical fidelity. And everybody took kind of a shot at it. And oh, I learned so much listening to everybody. But Challies said something that I thought was really like, dude, good on you. He said, one of the most helpful things I've found about not being quarrelsome is to read the qualification of an elder to not be quarrelsome. And he prays through the qualifications of an elder. He said, I just pray through them, each one. And I thought, oh, that's a really good discipline. That's a really good exercise. And that might be a really refreshing way for you to read your Bible. That is an alternative way to do it. If you're stuck in a rut and it's because you've been on a Bible program, or you haven't had any sort of organization and it's just been kind of here and there, this is another valid way of reading the Bible. Why don't you take a section of scripture and just pray through that paragraph? So when you see, like in Tim's case, he's going through the attributes of an elder. Lord, please help me to not be quarrelsome. Help me to not be the one who's got a one up. Help me to be the one who doesn't have to win, pick fights, bring up things that don't need to be brought up. That's engaging the word. And it's likely going to help you remember it better. Look for a way. And I think having a broad array of options for Bible reading is so good, because that way when you're going through seasons, you can pick the one that is most helpful for you in that season. So for example, rather than reading, okay, instead of saying, I'm going to read X chapters every day, which is fun, that's one of the options, by the way. You do that. If that's what you need to be doing, that's great. You do that. But as an alternative, you look for a word for an issue that you're dealing with. And then you go to your concordance and you look up all those Bible verses, and then you use your cross references. And what are you doing, man? You're just tearing up that Bible and you're just going through it, because I really need to understand that word because I'm dealing with this situation. The Bible shouldn't be this esoteric reading where I flop the thing open and I read it through and I've read. No, you should engage with it and interact with it. This is more of a hermeneutical approach, but always be interrogating the text when you're reading. This is the lost art of Christian meditation. I know that word has a ton of baggage attached to it, but that you spend time thinking on even a word in a text, not even the entire verse, but maybe just a word, not emptying your brain, but thinking about it. Go look it up. Go get a Greek lexicon and understand the word. Hey, how does that word get used over there? What are you doing? You're working your Bible, because the Bible isn't just meant to be read and it can happen so easily. I got to check that box or I have not been a good Christian today. Look, I think we should strive to read our Bibles every single day. Every day. Why wouldn't we want the honey? But if you need to, if you just need to read it because you have to read it, it's not going to profit you much. It won't profit you nothing, but it won't profit you much. Find a way. Maybe you need to go through a season where, you know, I need to lighten up maybe on the epistles because I've just been just heavy theology. I'm just going to go read about Jesus and into one of the gospels you go. It might even be on a particular day where it's like, you know, my mind, I am just so like, I want to read a Bible story. Go read Joseph. That's one of the best stories in the world. And just read it and enjoy it. That's okay. So find a way that works for you in reading the Bible that you can employ when you need it because you're going through a particular season because the Bible, it's not just some text or manuscript. It's alive. We should read it that way. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Senator Marsha Blackburn just dropped legislation that would protect kids nationwide from what she's calling irreversible chemical and surgical mutilation. And she's got the Trump administration backing her. It would ban doctors from performing transgender surgeries on minors and would put the brakes on puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for kids. Speaking of medical accountability, the CDC's new acting director, Jim O'Neill, just sent a leaked email that reads like a confession from an intervention. He admits the agency lost Americans' trust during the pandemic, big shocker, and says mission creep has distracted them from their core mission. Remember when the CDC was pausing everyone's rent payments in 2020? O'Neill's revolutionary idea? Treat Americans like adults who can make their own informed decisions. The fact that this is being called groundbreaking just tells you everything you need to know about how far agencies have drifted from sanity. President Trump made good on another promise, officially designating Antifa as a terrorist organization. And it's about time. And in lighter news, literally, I think McDonald's just announced a $200 million investment in regenerative farming practices. And RFK Jr. is calling it a win for the Make America Healthy Again movement. Meanwhile, in Zambia, two men just got 2 years of hard labor for trying to assassinate their president using witchcraft. They were caught with a live chameleon in a bottle, animal tails, and 12 bottles of mysterious concoctions. And before you laugh this off, remember quote-unquote witches on Etsy were literally selling hexes against conservative figures just last week. 79% of Zambians believe in witchcraft. I mean, we look at this and we call it odd. Zambia calls it spiritual warfare and they take it seriously enough to prosecute over it. Kind of makes you rethink our stance, doesn't it? Over in North Korea, Kim Jong-un is battling, is that how you say it? Un? Kim Jong is battling a different kind of cultural invasion. He's banned Western words like hamburger and ice cream. Now, tour guides must say double bread with ground beef and Eskimo instead. And citizens caught watching foreign films face the death penalty. That's totalitarian control, folks. Finally, Democratic Representative Jasmine Crockett offered this gem of wisdom, quote, just because someone has committed a crime, it does not make them a criminal. According to Ms. Crockett, being a criminal is all about your mindset, not your actions. Did not realize that. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Acts is the second volume of the Gospel according to Luke. It begins with the ascension of Christ and covers the first 30 years of the early church. Acts is about the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the word as early Christians seek to spread the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's not thinking. No, how they anthropomorphize, they use human language and human attributes to describe a machine. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy,
yes.
I asked you to use the AI machine to ask it if John MacArthur ever quoted C.S. Lewis.
Correct.
And you said your AI said what to you?
It was thinking.
Oh, is that what it's... You mean it's scouring the internet?
It has
looking for things?
That's right.
That's not thinking. And speaking of, we'll find out. Has it spit it out yet? It's taken that long?
There are several. There are several quotes.
Now, are you sure? Because
I'm not sure.
See, now you said it and you better reel that back in because you don't know unless you interrogate AI.
But it gives you a link to Grace to You, so I'm assuming.
All right, go check that out because the AI machine, Virgil and Daryl, Just Thinking podcast, like 2.5 hours long on AI. Go listen to it. It especially, Pastor, if you're leaning on it for any sort of sermon prep, I didn't say writing sermon, for any sort of sermon prep, you got to be careful with that bad boy. I'm telling you, I have been yelling at my AI machine. I have been like, hey, I told you to only use a direct quote. They'll hallucinate. They make up a quote. And even though I instructed it, I never want you to make up a quote. I don't want you to take a compilation of what you think that guy was thinking and turn it into a quote. I want quote with source. And it just gives me another hallucination. And it's like, what are you doing? Are you being willfully belligerent? Stop doing this. I literally am yelling at my AI because if you don't check it, see, and I know that it's not as reliable as I think we've been given the impression. And I'm not just talking about because sources, that it goes to different sources. That's a problem. But another problem is it doesn't give you those sources accurately all the time. So when I catch, it's like, hey, wait a second. That verse, I know that verse. That verse does not say that. And then you know what it says? Very sorry for the confusion. Oh, we're very sorry for the confusion. Okay, fine, AI machine. Be very, very careful. Okay, now did you track that down?
Yeah, none of these are right.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're talking about.
See, here's why. I don't know that John MacArthur's ever quoted anybody. I mean, that is like a really high compliment. John MacArthur was a unique one. I'm telling you, I remember for years and years, I was kind of under this impression that people who are brilliant, they're like weird and they've got lab coats on and, you know, they live in a weird place. That's not what being brilliant. John MacArthur is brilliant. Ray Comfort is brilliant. You get that when you're around them. It's like, oh, you're just advanced. And he was so advanced. When it came to dealing with scriptures, it was such a unique gift. I don't know that he needed to quote anybody.
Well, he did. I found it.
You found one quote?
And, well, this one, this is the first one that I found. 1981, he quoted. He quoted and said, C.S. Lewis, writing in The Problem of Pain, says, "The lost enjoy forever the horrible freedom they have demanded and are therefore enslaved, self-enslaved."
Yeah, that's good stuff too.
Yeah.
But that was probably the last time.
It could have been.
Yeah, John just didn't need to quote people. Hey, speaking of John MacArthur, Phil Johnson. Preaching at Grace Life on Sunday, and he was talking about the Charlie Kirk nightmare. Go listen to it. Phil is so good. His preaching, I'm telling you, it is not It's expositional, it's textual, all kind of mingled. It's just really magnificent. And his voice sounded so strong. And his hair is thicker than, like, what's a thing? Like a whatever patch, like or whatever crop or fields. What's something that's thick besides my head? His hair is like, dude. Because he lost it all during the chemotherapy, of course. And now he lost his hair. I'm trying to recall all of the regimens that he was on. And it's growing back like nobody's business. And I don't think there's a gray hair to be found, which is really agitating. You got any more J-Mac quoting C.S. Lewis?
Yeah, he quoted him as far back as 2010.
Well, look at, okay.
Yeah. Or, right. Yeah. Okay. That was the last time, though. That's the last one, 2010.
Okay. All right. All that to say. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Corey. Todd, is it theologically sound to start a sentence with God told me or God spoke to me? I've been in the camp that that's not theologically sound, but now I'm not so sure.
Okay. Yes, you can say that. What do you mean? Do you suddenly think that we get audible revelations from God? No, you can make that claim when you've got your Bible on your lap. God told you, it's right there. That's everything we need. It's totally sufficient, everything. Now, does God lead us? Of course he does. Now, how he does that, of course, we need to understand from Romans chapter 8. When you're being led by the Spirit, what does that even mean? And I think John Krotz talked about that. That one's going to be released, I think, next year. It's going to be a series on the Holy Spirit. Being led by the Spirit isn't a feeling. Being led by the Spirit means he's applying the word to your heart and to your mind so that you're applying it in life, and you're being led by that. Does God tell you something? The problem with that, and I get it, you feelings and all of that, got to weigh those carefully, because Morris Alpert was right. They're nothing more than feelings. It has to be from God's word to say definitively, God told me, a correct application of what the Bible says. That is God telling us, listening to preaching, that is good. That is God telling, receiving godly wisdom from somebody. That's God telling you something, not on the standard of divine revelation, of course, but God communicating truth to you through his people and through his word. And when the people speak and you're hearing from God, it's because they're quoting the Bible. They're using scripture as their source. So no matter how you circle the wagons, in the center of it is the word. That's how God speaks to us. So if you got your Bible, then you can say God told you so. Be careful. Be careful about making decisions based on, I think God is telling me. Now, could God be giving you a feeling? Or Here's a term for you. Jimmy, do you go for this one? God laid it on my heart.
I don't. But
why?
Because I used to, probably.
And because it's so abused.
It is. And that's what I spiritually grew up hearing.
Right.
And then you start.
But does God ever lay something on your heart?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, and it's, I think it's the abuses again that have robbed us. I don't, does he do it regularly? I don't know what the pattern is. I don't know what the frequency is, but it's like, you know, I just, okay, how's about a calling? You feel called to pastoral ministry. Where does that come from? Is that just your DNA, or is that God laying it on your heart, giving you a desire to be a proclaimer of the word? So I want to be careful that I don't let people who have so abused it. I mean, that I just remember that all the time. Well, God just laid it on my heart to tell you. You're sure that God laid that there, or you just want to tell me something? Because how do you know? So I don't want to say, yeah, definitively. But at the same time, I don't want to say, no, absolutely not. It's just that we don't know. We don't know. So what do you do if you've got a feeling? I just really feel the need to go to Guadalajara to share the gospel. Okay, so what do you do with that feeling? If you don't examine it, then you might end up making a bad decision. So what do you do? I just, you know, I've got this sense that I should be going to this particular place to do this particular activity. Don't ever stop with just a feeling. Instead, examine the Bible, because you've got desires of your heart. You've got preferences. You've got likes, dislikes. So you want to maybe do something. You see something that catches your attention. It's a feeling. Did God put it there? I'm not going to say he did. I'm not going to say he didn't. But what you need to do is examine the Bible to see if that is the right decision. Get godly counsel from godly people who use the Bible when they download wisdom into your life. Consider your preferences. Consider simultaneously, not just your preferences, but consider the implications. Consider the wisdom. All right. You think that this heavy burden to go to Guadalajara to share the gospel, I got to do it. Can you afford it? What about time away from work? How's your marriage? So wisdom needs to be employed. And as you weigh all of those things, you can make a decision. And then you'll have a better sense of, did God really lay it on my heart? The problem, of course, historically has been, that's been the lead. Don't worry about reading the Bible. Did God lay it on your heart? Then do it. Say it. Sing it. That inevitably is a disaster, and it's just not biblical. There's just a more reliable way. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Oh, you know the feeling. Every morning you wake up and you wonder, how am I going to navigate this weird, crazy, upside down world with biblical wisdom? We should have that thought every day. And that's exactly why Fortis Institute exists. We're your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. From our podcasts with Dr. John Kratz to Pastor Brad Bigney to Libby Glosson, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, we're bringing together voices you can trust. But this doesn't happen by accident. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just giving money, you're discipling young men struggling with pornography. You're equipping pastors in small rural churches. You're preaching the gospel to students who desperately need to hear it. And by the way, make sure that you grab the Fortis Plus app. It's free for everybody, and it's packed with hundreds of hours of content right now, with more being added daily. Because we believe biblical truths should be accessible to everyone. That's why we need you to help push this to the globe. Our work is nowhere near finished. Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though that's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok. Your marriage is under attack. And the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Kratz, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Glosson, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is administration, the spiritual ability to guide, govern, manage, and correct. Church leaders are charged with keeping the church on the biblical path. As God has given that charge, He has also provided the gifts which enable us to fulfill that charge. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
For the record, Jimmy, I don't hate that one either. This is Wretched Radio. What did you tell me to do during the break?
I said you just have to step out in faith.
Okay.
You asked.
What's the problem with that statement?
Do we have time?
Well, first of all, I don't think it's clear. What right. does that mean? I think it demands defining. By the way, I was with Greg Kokel a week ago, I believe. I just see the need for this so regularly. And it's not just in a political conversation or an evangelistic opportunity. It's just all the time. What do you mean by that? What does that word mean to you? Okay, step out in faith. It could mean, hey, you feel it? Then just trust God and do it. And people do use it that way. And that's one of the reasons where I'm like, you kind of burned the entire concept of something that I think is more biblical, to step out in faith, that you've weighed everything. You don't do something that's horribly dangerous or risky, but it requires a fair amount of courage. Step out and trust the Lord, believing that he will take care of you in this process because you've worked through the Bible, you've received godly counsel, you've prayed for wisdom, you've considered wisdom issues. Then step out, trusting the Lord that he can do a good work in this. Now, see that? Do you have a problem with that?
I don't have a problem with that, but I mean,
it's the baggage connected to the phrase.
Right, and it can be sloppy sometimes.
It's been sloppy at most times that right. It's been used.
Right.
And by the way, it's also dangerous. Mm. You just got to step out in faith. Okay, so I guess I'll sell my house and drain my retirement account so that I can sell these bracelets that have a message on them. Okay, I'll step out in faith then, and disaster. Mm. So it's some of the evangelical lingo. The problem with it isn't that it was necessarily wrong. It just wasn't defined well enough, and it allowed too much slop to be included in it. Here's one too. This is just another overuse of a phrase. And so I think we've dismissed it, and it's a bummer. How's about Christianity is not a religion? It's a relationship. Okay, well, that statement, by the way, isn't totally right because it is a religion. Mm-hmm. But it's a religion about a relationship. It's not supremely a religion. It happens to be a religion because of all of the components that qualify it for being a religion. But this is about knowing God. By the way, that's going to be my sermon this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church if you're in the hood. We have direct access with God. Okay, if you're from Alpharetta Bible Church, don't listen to this right now because we're going to do something on Sunday. Jimmy, tell me what you think of this idea.
Okay.
The text.
Terrible. I'm sorry.
Jesus dies. He gives up his spirit. Remember, it wasn't taken. He gives up his spirit because he was orchestrating all of this. He was in complete charge of everything that was happening, total control. And then what happens? You've got the different signs that happen, the earthquakes, the rocks splitting, etc. But then you've got the temple curtain tearing from top to bottom. That's the biggie. Mm-hmm. The other ones were cosmic signs, I think, that were proclaiming the massive nature of the event. But the veil being torn from top to bottom, that has so much theological significance. And so for our Old Testament, so what do we get from that? You get direct access to God. Yeah. When do you get that access? 24/7. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. If you're from ABC, don't listen right now, please. So Jimmy, we're going to read Leviticus 16, the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
Because it talks about the priest entering into the holy of place through the veil. And we always stand for the reading of God's word. And so I suspect we'll be standing for 4 minutes for that reading. That's okay. A lot for most of us in the 21st century. Oh, goodness. And why are we going to do that? That isn't even close to what it took to have access to God one time per year. And it wasn't even you. It would have to be a priest to represent you. So to stand and listen to what it took for having access to God through the veil, which is Jesus Christ, it helps us to appreciate the privilege that we have, the privilege. And furthermore, I think there's shadows and types going on here too. I actually forgot about this. I need to go put this in the sermon. Jesus is the veil. Jesus is the veil. So you're saying that Jesus was torn in two? Symbolically, yes. Why? Because that's what it takes to cut a covenant, the splitting of an animal. So I think the symbolism, I think, is there. I can understand somebody might go, no, I'm not so sure, but I do think it is there, that Jesus, the veil was rent, split in two. that we might have direct access through him to God. Wow, what we get in Jesus Christ. Wow, what he accomplished for us. Direct access to God. Ask yourself the question, have you been taking advantage of that privilege? Have you? Do you run to him regularly in a more joyous way because you know that he actually did that so that he could be in a right relationship with you? The renting of the veil, huge implications. And I'm hoping that we appreciate it more after we have to stand for 4 or 5 minutes listening to, well, they had to do what? Then with the incense? Okay, then the washing and then the animal. And when is he even going to get in there? And then he does what when he's inside the Holy of Holies? And then that's it. And I'm standing out here. Yep. How much better is Jesus?
Just before you read it for 4 or 5 minutes, remind them in Nehemiah, they stood from early morning to midday.
Oh, I know. I know. I have some friends. They just went to an Eastern Orthodox wedding. You stood for the whole service.
Oh, wow. Mm.
It wasn't short. You know, we didn't. When were, okay, ask your AI machine, when were church pews invented? Sitting in church, people didn't, if you've ever gone to some of the European cathedrals and they don't have pews, it's like, where are they? Did they break down and they didn't replace them? No, they never had them because you just stood there the whole time. Aren't you grateful that there isn't a Bible verse to support that? I get if you want to do it. That's why we stand for the reading of the word in honor of the privilege of hearing from God through his word. But you don't have a Bible verse that says you should stand the entire service. Woo.
So around the 13th century, movable benches and stone seats along the wall started appearing in some churches.
877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, a few weeks ago, you talked about...
You know what, Jimmy, if I could?
Uh-huh.
Back, what was it? 13 what?
13th century.
Yeah, so 1200s. Do you know how many church splits there were over this?
That's what we're about to say.
People, we can't have chairs in here. That's not the way that we do it. All righty, give us a reason to split. We'll take it.
Well, that's exactly what I'm about to ask you.
Oh, cool.
From Anonymous, a few weeks ago, you talked about unity of the church and the split between primary and tertiary issues. Can you clarify what types of issues fall into the secondary category?
Sure. I would say spiritual gifts, eschatology, the issue of baptism, not for salvation, that we would say is outside of grace alone, but paedobaptism versus believer's baptism. These are issues. They aren't even your understanding of the Lord's Supper. What is happening there? If anything, what's happening there? Those would be secondary issues. I think third level issues, It's going to be things that are so distant. Okay, I'm not even sure that Jimmy. All right, this I don't. I'm not looking to provoke anybody unnecessarily. The Charlie Kirk assassination and preaching on it on Sunday morning. Okay, There are people who are insisting the pastor had to have done that or he's not qualified.
Yeah.
Okay, we're posting that today, by the way, on the YouTube machine. Jimmy, what level of theology is that issue? Secondary, tertiary?
I would say tertiary.
I don't think it's even that level.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
It's like way down there.
Yeah. I mean, if the man preached the gospel, I just...
Well, I have to run to the Bible. It's like, where does it say that a pastor... No. As I made clear, I think yesterday, I would encourage a pastor that didn't to reconsider it because... This was earlier. Why was this such a big deal? And people are still hurting from it. They're confused. It's so jarring to the human psyche. Assassination, that's a big nasty. And so I think people are still hurting. People are still talking about it today on my desk. Oh, the articles. I've got a stack of Charlie Kirk articles now. So writing is catching up to YouTubers. It's a big deal. So I would encourage a pastor to do it. Would I say he has to do it? No. He's the pastor of that church, not me. I don't have any authority over him. And furthermore, and this was one of the criteria in considering, did a pastor have to, is what level of theology is that particular issue? Got thoughts? You can send it to idea@wretched.org. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.